Welcome to church. It's a good day to be here. We're carrying on in this series called Send Me, and we're in week two. Last week, we talked about this this idea of being sent, of being the sent people, that God always, throughout Scripture, has sent people to somewhere, that there's a mission in front of us, that there's a place that we're meant to go, there's a people we're meant to reach, there's a thing we're meant to do, but always, if we want to see what God wants to do, we have to be the people who go when he says go. We have to be, when he sent, they went. We have to be that kind of people. And so that's where this series has started off, especially Isaiah 6:8, where he's standing there with God in this throne room, in this vision, Isaiah is, and God says, hey, who will go for me? And Isaiah says, I will, Lord, send me. Without any other information, I will. Send me. And so we're really believing that God wants to put in our hearts the reality, the realization that we're not just people who sit in a room and talk about the Bible and then that's that, but that there's purpose to what we're learning. There's purpose to the relationship we've got with Christ for the world and for the Comox Valley around us. So I'm really excited to be sharing about this, but also really excited about the next 3 weeks. Next week, we have Jason Eliason here. Does anyone know Jason Eliason? He's going to be here and he's going to be speaking. He and his whole family will be here. They'll be sharing a little bit about their journey in church planting in Surrey and just sharing their hearts with us. We've decided as a church to get behind them, and so we're so glad that they're going to come and talk to us about that. We also have the Pacific Life Bible College worship team is going to be doing worship here next Sunday. Okay, well. Some excitement in the room. I don't know, the nappers or the gardeners. I'm not sure which one's coming for this one right now, but it's going to be a really great week. And then the following week, we have Compassion Canada coming and just sharing with us some of the global things that are going on. And we're really excited to hear about that. The following week after that, I want you to be here. I want to talk about one of the great things that we're doing as a church locally, one of the great things that we're trying to accomplish and we're believing for, I really want you to come out. And so this Send Me series is all about what can we do? Where do we go? What does it look like for us to believe that God is sending us somewhere to someone for something all the time? I once went on a mission trip to the Ukraine, to Crimea. And so we went. We had this crew of people. I don't know how old I was. Anyways, a few years back, we probably had a team of about 10 people. And there was one person on our team that we were a little unsure about when we brought him along. He was a pretty tough kind of guy. He wasn't necessarily a young man. He had had a fairly challenging life, you know. He had walked through some different addiction type things, and he was just kind of a tough guy. We weren't sure exactly what we were going to get with him, but we felt like God was saying, you know, bring him along. He's meant to come with you. And so we go to the Ukraine, and we show up there as a team. We start doing a few things, and then this guy that's with us, we have to be disciplining him for all of this stuff. So pretty early on, he found out that in the corner store, you can buy vodka for cheaper than water in the Ukraine. Literally in the corner store, you see vodka and water, you're looking for a quick refreshment. If you only have a few bucks, vodka is what you go for instead of the water. It's like crazy. But anyways, so he found that out and he thought he better stock up for when he went home. And we're like, that's not exactly what we're doing on this mission trip. So like, probably don't do that. And so we're chatting with him about that. Not long after, we find out that he's been getting up early in the morning and going to the gardener. You know, asking him for some cigarettes because he's not allowed to smoke on this trip, but he needs some. And so he's just smoking with the gardener in the mornings. And so he's just sort of doing some things that are like, we're constantly bringing him in, like, hey, it's not why we're here. It's not what we're trying to accomplish, you know. And he's like, yeah, I know, sorry. It's just, anyways, we just carry on in life. And then this one day we go to this village. And in this little village, we plan on doing this Canada versus Ukraine soccer game. I don't know if you've ever been on a mission trip. This seems like a staple. Like, it's always what you do. Like, yeah, Canada versus Ukraine, and we're going to get whooped, and they're going to laugh, and then they'll love us. We'll tell them about Jesus. So we go to play this thing. There's all these young people there and this youth team that's ready to take us on. And it's all about just caring for these young folks that just sort of hang around. A lot of their parents are who knows where. And so we're like, oh, you know what? Jesus loves you. And so we're ready to play soccer with them. Well, this one guy from the town, from the little village, comes out, and he takes it on his himself to become the coach of these young men. So he comes out, and he is in really rough shape. He's been definitely drinking, and he just starts yelling from the sidelines. The boys are playing soccer against us, and Canada, Ukraine, this is so fun. Yay, yay, yay. Oh, yeah, boy. And he's just yelling from the sideline. We're like, whoa, who is this guy? And we're asking everyone, who's this guy that just keeps yelling at people? And like, oh, we don't, and everyone keeps doing this about him, you know? He's just, don't worry about him. He's yelling, and we're thinking, this guy's getting in the way of all that we could be doing. He's keeping these kids like on edge. They're raising their anxiety, and what are we supposed to do with this guy? And maybe we're never going to be able to reach who we're supposed to be able to reach here. And what are we supposed to do about this guy? And so he keeps yelling on the sidelines. And eventually the end of the game comes, and we're trying to, you know, we've just kind of ignored him. Now we're trying to connect with some of these young people and their families if they came out, and just to let them know about Jesus. And meanwhile, our kind of rough around the edges guy and their kind of rough around the edges guy are over sitting under a tree having a nice chat. We're like, what is going on here? And our guy is sitting there telling him about Jesus. Come on. And if we find out that this guy's there, he's angry, he's not happy, he actually got kicked out of the army, the Russian army, for violence. And I'm like, well, who is this guy? Like, what are we doing here? And so our friend is sitting there just chatting with them, and eventually he gives him his Harley Davidson wallet. And he just hands him his wallet, and so this guy goes, you got to come to my house. And I'm like, no, you're not going to his house. We're not going to his house. And he's like, I got to go. Oh man, I'm talking to him about the gospel. I'm sharing about Jesus. I got to go to his house. I'm like, well, we can't go to his house. But he hadn't listened to me so far in the trip, so away he went. And off they go. They head over and they start walking. And so a couple of us go, and we're sort of following behind. Like, we're weaving through this village. We have no idea where we are. And this like pretty scary guy is leading him through, and like, come to my house. Okay, let's go. And they're going to the house. And I'm kind of like walking a little bit behind. I actually have like all the money for our team at that point and all the stuff. And now I'm wandering into this village. I keep looking at which bush I'm going to hide it behind if all of a sudden he comes after me, you know? And so this guy goes right into the house. First thing you see in the house, like all these guns, all this stuff right away. I'm like, oh man, this is going to be a terrible headline story in Canada. Missionaries in the Ukraine. And this guy brings him in, and I'm thinking he wants to kill him. You know, like, I don't know what he wants to do. He wants to do something terrible. But this guy was so touched by his gift that he pulls out his story. He pulls out like his medals that he got from the army. He pulls out all the stuff that he has, and he ends up giving our friend one and says, this is for you. You've impacted me. You've changed me. You've shifted my life today. And he gives it to him. And then we're like, okay, that's great. Yeah, come on, let's go though, because this is scary. So anyways, we start walking out, and these guys are walking like buds, you know, arm in arm. Like, this is the best thing that's ever happened. And this guy doesn't make a decision for Jesus there, but all of a sudden the bridge has been made. He connects now with our missionaries who were there. He connects with the locals. He connects with all these people. And none of that would have happened if we didn't have this guy on our team. None of it would have happened if we didn't have The guy who was a little bit different than the rest of us. The guy who was a little edgier than the rest of us. The guy who didn't necessarily know how to follow some of the rules and do all the things. He was there, so we got to make that connection. Isn't it amazing how when the church recognizes the diversity within it, we all of a sudden have an opportunity to reach all sorts of people that we wouldn't have known how to do if we all looked the same. And we're all the same person, and we just behave the exact same way. I just was reminded of a story this week of a guy. There was a couple that a few years back, they wanted to start coming to church. They felt like they were supposed to, but they had had some bad experiences with church, and so they felt like they were going to go to Northgate, but several Sundays in a row, they drove to church, they were going, and then they just drove on by and went out for lunch. And so several times this happened, finally they got the bravery, the courage up to come and to show up to church and they were going to come in, but he said, but I'm only going to go if I get to wear his, whatever they're called, that fleecy, like lumberjack jacket. He's like, what's it called? Stanfield, I think. Stanfield. I'm only going if I get to wear my Stanfield. If they can't accept me in my Stanfield, I'm not going to church. And so he's like, that was his rule when he came to Northgate. So they showed up into Northgate, and I remember hearing this story so clearly because they walked into Northgate, and one of the first people they see is wearing a Stanfield. You know? If I was the first person they saw, they'd be like, oh, why is he wearing a blazer? Like, what is this guy doing? Blazer in the Comox Valley? What's going on here? But he walks in and sees someone just like him. And he looks at his wife and says, this is our church. This is where we fit. This is where we belong. Now, if we all got together and said, we need to figure out what Christians should look like, and we all need to dress the same and act the same and speak the same words and do the same stuff and pretend we don't have a past because we only talk about our same uniform current situation, then we would never reach the people we're supposed to reach. Because there's a lot of people, there's a whole diverse community around us, whole diverse world around us that needs to look into the church and see diversity. Needs to look and see that we're not all just the same. If we're sent to all people, we should represent all people, shouldn't we? Should represent all people in this room. I start to picture what Jesus would do with that. He would go to people sometimes on the margins of society. And when he would reach them, it was amazing how often people just like them all of a sudden started coming to Jesus. You know, Jesus would heal someone and all these sick people all of a sudden show up at his house, right? He goes out on the street, he heals someone. People are like, I like that. And then sick people would show up. And so Jesus was just all of a sudden surrounded with people who wanted to know the healing that he had. At one point, he calls this tax collector to follow him. He invites a tax collector who at that point was a real bad person, says, come and follow me. Come and be part of what I'm doing. Come and get to know me a little bit. The very night that he invites that tax collector to come and follow him, he's at a tax collector party. All of these other tax collectors say, what? He reached a tax collector and Levi, like he likes him? Okay, why don't we all go and see what this Jesus is all about? It's amazing how often Jesus would just reach a person and it would open the door for a people. That when he just reached one person, it would open the door for a group of people. The one person who remained sort of who they were, who recognized that they didn't look like every other person, but were able to reach those who don't look like every other Christian because of it. And Jesus was very, very regular in doing that. In John 4, there's a story of this one woman. And Jesus shows up into her life. She's a surprising person for Jesus to show up to. And I just want to share the story a little bit. It's the story of the woman at the well, is how many people would know it. It says, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Now, that's just stories about the Old Testament, about the patriarchs of Israel. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? And so there's this woman at noon is coming out to draw water. This is probably meant to spark our interest, because probably the average woman at that point wasn't going out at noon because it's the hottest time of day. They're going out in the morning or the evening. But this woman's coming out at noon probably because she's outcasted from society. She doesn't want to be part of the banter that happens around the watering hole, literally. She doesn't want to hear all the things that are going on at that point. So she comes out at a time that's not that convenient for her, but it's a lot easier than hearing all the chit-chat probably about her. And Jesus sits by the well and waits as she comes. He says, "Will you give me a drink?" Because his disciples had gone into town to buy food. I like this. You got to hold on to that little trinket of understanding. The disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman." She said, "Wait a second. You don't talk to me. You don't ask me for water. We don't get along. I know you're a Jew, and you know I'm a Samaritan. We don't get along. This doesn't work for us. We don't like each other. There's a lot of history here, and we don't care for one another. Why are you asking me for a drink? You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Now, in the Bible, they go on and have a little chatter here about living water and worship and things, but eventually she says, "Okay, sir, give me the water so that I won't get thirsty and I have to keep coming to draw water." So she said, "My life's not great. I have to keep coming to this watering hole. It's inconvenient, one, but two, it's the place where people gossip most about me. And people talk. I don't like coming here all the time. I don't like doing this life. I don't like living this way. I don't like following. Just give me the water that you're talking about so I never have to come back here again, and let's get this over with." And here's Jesus' response. He said, "Go call your husband and come back." A weird response. Now, why would Jesus say that? Go call your husband and come back. She's there talking about water, and he says, "Oh, if you want water, go call your husband." Here's what Jesus is doing. He's starting to build a relationship. He's starting to develop something with her, and here now he's trying to get to the crux of her pain, the crux of her brokenness. He's trying to recognize trying to help her recognize that he sees her, and still he wants to be around her. She says, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." I love how Jesus affirms her, hey? That's how probably how Jesus affirms us sometimes. "Jesus, I've done something bad." "You're right. You're so true. Good for you. You figured it out. Like, congratulations." "Jesus, I really messed up. I said something mean to my wife." "Yes, obviously. Duh." He knows, right? He knows what's going on in her life. He knows what's happening, and yet he's still having this chatter. He's still having this banter. He's still sharing about worship and about some of these things. He's still talking to her, even though she's a Samaritan. Now she knows that not only does he know that she's a Samaritan, he knows that she's not a good Samaritan. She hasn't lived a good life. She hasn't lived a pure life. She hasn't lived a sin-free life, and still here he is. So now she's in one foul swoop. She's realized his power, his strength, his greatness, who he is, how great he must be, and that he knows how low she is. And she knows how not great she is. In one moment, she notices that. Says, "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet." A little more chatter. This is, the woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" And so Jesus is sitting there. This is a Samaritan woman. So she's like, why is a Jew talking to a Samaritan? Disciples come out and say, why is Jesus, a man, talking to a woman? These things aren't happening in our culture. What's going on here? What's taking place? And then she's now learned that he's real pure and actually like a prophet. And now he said he's the Messiah. He is the one who everyone's been waiting for. And he knows her mess. And still he's accepted her. All of this stuff is going on in this very moment. And so you can sort of think, why did Jesus do this? Why would Jesus take the time with this woman? Was it to change a life? Probably. But it was to change a city. It was to change a village. An entire village was about to be changed without Jesus ever walking in to the village. He's about to be invited. He's going to go in. We're about to hear what happens after this. But Jesus is investing in a missionary in that moment. He's investing in one who's meant to go and change the world, one who's going to go and reach her people, one who is going to go and stir things up in a new way. Had Jesus just walked into the village, I don't know what would have happened. Hello, I'm a Jew in a Samaritan village. Everybody, I'm the Messiah. Hello. Probably no one's listening. But here he sits by a well, patiently waits, and this Samaritan woman who is dirty on every account from the city shows up to him, and he just starts talking to her and building up relationship with her and letting her know that he's listening to her even though he knows her mess. And then he said, by the way, I'm God and this is how God treats people. She's rocked. Disciples show up and say, what's going on here? Anyways, they leave it alone. Then it says, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Now, I recognize something. I wanted you to remember something from the beginning. Jesus was sitting by the well because all of his disciples had gone into town. They all went into town and popped by Sevi to grab some hot dogs, hey? 7-Eleven hot dogs, Alan, you love them? Okay, good. No one else does, it sounds like. But they all head on into town, and they're going to get some food and going to Love Life, and oh, let's go, guys. And they're the disciples of Jesus Christ, the 12 most connected to Jesus Christ that exist on the planet, and they head on into this Samaritan town. There's no one with more authority. There's no one with closer proximity. There's no one with more relationship to Jesus. There's no one who knows him more. There's no one who knows his heart more. There's no one who's seen him accomplish more. They have been there for every miracle that Jesus has performed. They walk into the town, and when they walk out of the town, how many new believers are there? Zero. There's not one that follows them out. There's not one that comes with them. Not the waitress that they went to, you know, gas attendant, not the person who they got their hot dogs from, not the person who they got their food from. No one follows them out of town. No one's life was changed because the 12 most influential, most close to Jesus people came into that city. And then one woman who just met Jesus that day, never changed anything about her life so far. We don't know. He doesn't say, quickly, go home and break up with that guy. Move out of that house. Do all this stuff. Change all of these things. Come to me. 4 years of Bible school, and make sure we follow through all of this stuff, missionary training, some funding stuff. We'll do some fundraisers. We'll do all this stuff. And then we're going to send you across the planet. He says, you today are going to change this city. She just goes, what? Like, Jesus, you're crazy. I can't believe this. You're talking to me and I'm a mess. I'm going to go tell everyone. And the city empties out to come and see him. I think that's a pretty significant thing to recognize. That's one person wearing their Stanfield jacket. You know? One person who's saying, I'm the same person, but I'm following Jesus. I've had a messy life and there's things changing about me, but today, even before I've changed anything, even before I've fixed myself, Jesus wants to use me, even today. When people show up into this church and they all of a sudden meet with Jesus, they are missionaries for Jesus. Well, someone shows up here and say, you know, maybe you come here and you come out of addiction. You show up to this church and say, oh, I feel like Jesus is changing my life and he's calling me out of addiction. That's the moment. That is the time when you get to start sharing a message of hope about Jesus. In fact, people all over the city who are walking through addiction need to know that Jesus is starting to move in your life. He's starting to do something, because she doesn't come in and say, now my life is changed and I'm all good and I figured it out and I'm all sorted. She just says, Jesus did something. Not me. Jesus. Jesus changed me. Jesus rocked me. Jesus changed my perspective on everything. The whole city comes on out, even though when the disciples went in, nothing happened. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days, and because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. You know, we need to not discredit the idea of pointing one person towards Jesus. Sometimes we're overwhelmed trying to think of, like, how would I change my whole neighborhood? What about just one neighbor? Sometimes we think, how would I change my whole workplace? How about just the person that shares your desk? How would I change a whole city? How about just the person that you see on the sidelines of your kid's soccer game? How would I change my whole school? How about just the one that's right beside you at your locker, the one that you walk home with after school? How about that one? Like, how would I do this? How would I reach all of these people? How about just the one person right in front of you? Sometimes we think, Lord, I will be sent to speak to the masses. And he might be saying, no, I'm going to send you to speak to one, because they're going to speak to the masses. They're going to go and do it. They're going to go and change lives. I need someone for the hardworking people in the logging industry. I don't need you in your blazer. I need him in his Stanfield. I need him to go out. And so you go and talk to him, because he's going to go and talk to them. And he's going to show his changed life. Show his impact that Jesus has had on him. Worship team, you can come on up, and I want to invite someone. We just had a trip that went to Thailand. Our interns just went to Thailand. I want to invite one of our interns up to just share a little bit about what one of the stories that took place there, just really believing that the investment into one person could potentially change the nation. Can you help me welcome up Samara? Welcome here, Samara. Okay, your name is Samara.
Correct.
But how long have you gone to this church?
Almost like a year and a half now, I think.
A year and a half. Yeah. Anyone gone to this church longer than Samara? Couple people. Couple people have gone to this church longer than you. And you went to Thailand. How was it?
It was incredible. It was a very cool experience.
It's awesome. By the way, how's the internship?
It's going great. Loving it.
Loving
almost
it.
Done. Almost
right
done.
Right on. I know it is almost done. Crazy. Samara, I wanted you to share sort of one of the stories. You guys, I feel like you being who you are, went there and because of who you were able to make an impact that maybe not everyone would be able to make. Maybe not I would be able to make, or some of the older, like recognizing just you're a young person. And you're a young team, and you got a chance to speak into some lives of some young folks in the university campus and around. So tell us one story that you had that took place there.
One of the stories that really stuck out to me, me and another intern, we were driving with two girls. They were named Omsen and Pop. They have cute little nicknames over
there. That's a cool name. Pop?
Pop. P-O-P.
Yeah, I like that. You can call me Pop from now on.
And as we were driving with them, we were actually driving back to the hotel. And Omsen in the back just kind of said, yeah, I lost my dad a few years ago to cancer. And we were like, whoa, kind of hit us. And then 5 or 6 months ago, she also lost a brother and her brother's son, her little nephew, in a car accident on the same month and same day that she lost her dad years ago. And she sat in the back and she was just like, once that happened, I didn't want to live anymore. But in Thailand, when something like that happens, it's not something you talk about. You kind of just shove it down, you keep going on with life. Anyway, we went back to the hotel because we invited some of the girls back to do worship. So we ended up having the projector on the wall. We're singing Reckless Love and Oceans and So Will I. We got some Thai subtitles on there too, which was really cool.
Nice.
And at the end, we were each kind of able to share our heart. And I pulled Omsin aside and I started talking to her. And I was like, you know, what happened to you in your life is hard. And you're probably broken. And you're allowed to feel that brokenness. You're allowed to feel hurt. You're allowed to cry. And she started tearing up and she started crying and just seeing that brokenness there and just being able to have that conversation and encourage her and to be like, you know, this story, yeah, it's hard, but you can share it to other people and you can impact other people.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because these people talking about this kind of stuff wouldn't be something they do on the norm. And just in 2 weeks, we had girls and some of the guys just opening up and sharing some of the hardest moments in their life.
Yeah.
And it was cool because Thailand's the land of smiles, yet underneath there's just so much brokenness and so much sorrow and so much sadness.
Yeah. So Samara, did those girls know Jesus?
No. The whole room was Buddhist and Muslim except for one girl who was Christian.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. So I feel like this is one of those moments, like what Jesus had with the Samaritan woman, where they show up, they're in that place, and they just start by saying, like, tell us about who you are. Tell us about where you're at. Tell us about what you're going through. And like the Samaritan woman, you get this impression like they're just trying to avoid the hurt, just trying to avoid, I don't want to keep coming back to this well. I don't want to keep doing this. And then you get to share, like, just so you know, Jesus can use your story. He wants your story. You don't have to develop way past it. Actually, right here, right now, where you're at, God can use you. God wants to use you. And I think that's an amazing thing to recognize. And my heart, as you shared that, I know a few of the interns came back and said, I just wish we got to see someone who was far from Jesus have their life totally turned and come to know Jesus. And that's always what we want on missions. That's always what we're dreaming of on missions. But listen to these words that the Samaritan woman said after she met with Jesus, the Messiah. She goes back into town and she says, come see a man who told me everything I could ever, or I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? She's still questioning, but she knows she's had a huge moment. She knows she's been impacted in a huge way, one way or another, in this time. Something has started, something has moved, something has changed. And in the midst of that, Jesus says goodbye to her, sends her back into the village, and all of them come out towards Jesus. The question in her heart was enough to draw people towards Jesus, who all, by the end, with certainty, believed in him. I want to believe together, Samara, today, that the questions that might have stirred up in Pop and Omsin's heart, as they move on with their life, as they're saying, could it be that these guys came from the Jesus? Could it be that Jesus was and is real? Could it be that he actually does want to use my story and he does want to use me and he does want to empower me? I want to believe that their question, that even started stirring in them, would actually yield and lead to villages coming to know with certainty that this truly is the Savior of the world, the one who is going to set all of us free. Because Jesus sent her back in while there were still questions. But as they came out to him, as they came to explore and check it out and try to understand more, Jesus revealed himself as the without a doubt Savior of the world. And so I want to believe with you for your friends. And then I also want you, church, to believe for your friends that maybe all you've done so far with your neighbors or your coworkers or the people around you, when you say, send me, Lord, you're feeling like you want to speak at a crusade and have thousands come to know Jesus, and and that would be great, because you're not very good at this one-on-one, you think? You don't know how to do this one-on-one because you haven't seen anyone come to know Jesus yet, maybe in your neighborhood or your workplace or even your family, and you're like, oh, this isn't working. Maybe today we just need to believe that as questions are stirring up in people, we allow those questions to go run amongst other unbelievers, and those questions will draw out the village to see Jesus and recognize without a doubt, this is the one, the Savior of the world. And so I'm trusting, Samira, that the questions stirring in their heart are going to lead not just to them, but to many, many, many coming to know Jesus through them. Amen? So Samira, can you pray for that for us? And as you do, church, I just want you to imagine and consider, who's that person in your life that you've been thinking they need to get to a certainty before anything can happen? But you're not the one who provides certainty, Jesus is. And their uncertainty may actually draw more people to be uncertain and actually start to question things and look towards Jesus, where he will provide answers for them. And so I just want to encourage you, as Samira's going to pray for her friends in Thailand, I want you to allow these words to be for you and for the people that you're thinking about. The individual that you know that you've been sharing with, you know you've been walking in relationship with, you know you've had some moments with, you know you've started to share about Jesus, or you're about to start to share about Jesus, and you haven't seen the breakthrough yet. Let's today believe that just like the Samaritan woman who went back into the village with questions, as a missionary, that there will be a harvest that will come out of the very work that you've been up to, very work that Samira was up to, the very work that's happening all over the city, because we are a diverse people. We are a group of people from all sorts of walks of life, reaching people from all sorts of walks of life. So Samira, if you say, God, would you just empower me to believe in faith for this? Maybe you just want to lift up your hands like this. Actually, why don't we all stand up while we pray? So we're just wrapping up the service. Why don't we all stand up? If you just say, I just want to believe in you, God. I want to believe that maybe all I'm doing so far is just stirring up questions in people. Jesus didn't despise that. In fact, that was the very thing that stirred up a village to come to know him. And so if you have been successful in helping someone just start to stir up some questions, let's today trust that Jesus is going to provide certainty. Amen? Samira, why don't you pray for us?
Dear Heavenly Father,
thank you, Lord.
Thank you for who you are, and yeah, thank you for just being a real God.
Thank you.
I'd like to lift up Amsin, and just, I pray protection and Jesus. Love over her.
Jesus.
And I pray that because of those conversations that we were able to have, because of that conversation I was able to have, that would just keep sparking questions.
Thank you, Lord.
And that she would come to know a God, and she would come to know you, and she would come to know what real joy is,
yes,
what real peace is,
yes,
what real love is, what living in a relationship with you is like, and she can, yeah, know that her brokenness can be healed by you.
Yes, Lord.
I just pray that each of us, whoever that one person is, that we'd continue to pray for them and continue to have those conversations, because we never know what kind of work you're doing in their life. Thank you for who, Jesus, you are, and thank you for what you're doing here. Thank you for what you are doing in Thailand, and you'll continue to do. We pray this all,
yes,
in your name.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Come on. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Thank you, Samira. Hey, I just want to encourage you, church. It's not about where you go or all the things that God wants you to do. It's about having a heart that says, send me, Lord. Send me, Lord. Last week we said, send me, Lord, even right to where I'm at. This week I just want to encourage you. You continue to be faithful. You continue to sit by that well and wait for that person. You continue to share with them. You continue to take on some of their burdens and hear from them. You continue to pray for breakthrough. But don't despise, don't question, don't doubt that when one person starts to question, who knows if a whole village isn't about to know with certainty who Jesus is. Amen? Let's believe for it. Let's be people who believe that breakthrough can come. Let's be people who believe that one person is enough. Let's be who we're meant to be for Jesus, doing what we're meant to be doing for Jesus, and trust him for the villages and the cities and the people and the groups and the workplaces and the schools to come to know him, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go for it. We love you. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Have a great week this week. Come back next week. It's going to be really good with Jason Eliason at PLBC Worship. Have a great week.